From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana stunned his state and his party this week when he announced that he is not seeking re-election. The two-term Democrat said Congress isn't getting anything done. He spoke of hoping to work next in a job-creating business or running a university or a philanthropic institution. And Senator Bayh joins us now by phone. Hi, welcome to the program.
With you, Robert.
And what do you say to people who would say that if you feel like your fellow senators or your party's leaders are obstructing common sense progress in Capitol Hill, then it's time for you to stand and fight, hang in there and get something done?
Well, I've been fighting for 24 years, which is almost my entire adult life. And Robert, as you may know, your listeners may know, I was privileged to be governor of my state for 8 years before coming to the Senate and was making executive decisions every day that were improving people's lives. And the Senate is a wonderful place. It's filled with wonderful people, but all too often months go by and not enough gets done to help the American people. So look, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm just going to be doing it in a different capacity where I think I can probably get more done.
In your remaining time in the Senate, this whole year, will you support, say, changing the cloture rules so that every significant bill doesn't need 60 votes?
Yes, I will. And, you know, I think back to my father's time in the Senate. They changed the threshold from 67 votes down to 60 because it had been used to frustrate civil rights legislation and other worthy undertakings. I think we need to look at this. It's just it's being abused now to stop almost all progress. We need to look at a variety of things to perhaps lower the threshold once again, maybe to 55.
Why not just majority rule? I mean, since this isn't constitutional, why not go to 51?
Well, you could do that, but then you'd have two houses of representatives. Look, there's a legitimate role for giving the minority a little bit bigger say, because if it's not abused, that fosters consensus building and usually better decision-making, the kind of thing that will be sustained by the American people. By the way, I also believe in making people, if you want a filibuster, make them do what Jimmy Stewart did in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Make him sleep on the cot.
Filibuster. Actually hold the floor.
That way, right now, they don't pay any price for bringing government to a screeching halt. If they feel that strongly about it, I think, look, make them go to the floor and actually do it.
And you will formally propose such a change yourself?
A couple of my colleagues already have, and I intend either to support theirs or to introduce legislation of my own.
Washington's a cynical place, and I've already heard more than one person wonder aloud, is Evan Bayh positioning himself for an outsider's run at the White House? So let me ask you first, are you done with politics, or would you consider, say, running for president in 6 years?
I'm not thinking about running for president. I'm flattered by the speculation, but they must think I've stopped taking my medication. For me, I'm an idealist. I love helping people, and if the time comes where I think I can do more of that in elected office, well, then I'd consider it.
Are you any less a Democrat today than you were before your announcement? Will you always be a Democrat?
Well, it's in my family DNA, as you know. So I'm a loyal Democrat, but I love my country even more than my party. So I want to do what's right for my state and for our country. As a faithful Democrat.
Just one last question. You've talked about reforming the cloture rule. Should the Senate do something, the Senate majority do something, to approve a health care bill without needing 60 votes? Or do you regard health care as something that was effectively killed under the old rule and can't be approved by fewer than 60?
Well, there's a process that you're aware of called reconciliation that does allow you to pass legislation with only 50 votes in the Senate. It may be that ultimately has to be resorted to because something to improve health care is better than nothing.
You would support that? You would support doing
well,
that?
Well, I might very well at the end of the day, but it has real negative consequences that you have to take into account, Robert. For starters, that would really poison the well for any sort of cooperation and bipartisan progress, at least for the foreseeable future. But that might be something you ultimately have to do, but it's not quite that simple. Under reconciliation, there are some things you cannot pass. So some of the important reforms might get left on the cutting room floor. And the other progress that you couldn't make, for example, on financial regulatory reform, education reform, maybe some steps to get the deficit down, you could forget about all that. Is that price worth paying in order to get done what you can still get done under reconciliation on health care?
And your gut tells you what? It is worth paying or it's not worth paying?
My gut tells me that you ought to try and avoid it if at all possible, but at the end of the day, you might have to resort to that because we need to try and make some progress on health care. We can't just afford to continue with these rate increases, people having pre-existing conditions that keep them from getting care, the real weight that we have on our economy because of that.
Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana, thank you very much for talking with us.
Robert, a pleasure.